This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Almost time for us to wrap up today here on Enterprise Biz Bytes. We've got one more story for you coming up in just a minute. But if you've been listening since the beginning of the show at 12 o'clock, we were asking you about whether or not you think co-living is still a viable concept in a pandemic and why or why not. We had a poll running over on Twitter and the numbers are...
The numbers are at 61.4% for yes and 38.6% for no. Mm-hmm.
Do we have a flip on votes over on Instagram?
Not a flip as much as a very gentle nudge. We've got 63% for yes at the moment on Instagram.
Any new tweets of?
No new tweets.
We do have a WhatsApp message that I should have read earlier about half ten. I'll start again. I did have a WhatsApp message I should have read 20 minutes ago from Maggie Best, who says, it's not safe from the health pandemic aspect. Like most everything else, the COVID has made us review our age-old and or usual practices. Remember, we were repeatedly saying the new norm. There's also, of course, if one has to resort to staying in dorms, he or she would have no choice because that's all they can afford. So it's left to the occupants to comply strictly with the SOPs regarding physical distancing and cleanliness. That's all fair.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think Felix actually said that these co-living spaces do adhere to all of these SOPs.
Yeah.
So it's pretty safe from what we understand. You know, it's not any less safe than living with your family who still continue to go out, of course, and they still have to come into the house. And anyway, that's where we are with that.
Mm-hmm.
Final story then about these UK independent bookshops. Of course, a lot of these bookshops are faced with closures because of coronavirus measures and fierce competition from the retail giant of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
250 independent UK bookshops have banded together on a new online platform. It's important to support independent booksellers, says Anna Henriksen, she's a regular customer at this bookshop called Primrose Hill Books, as she collected her most recent purchase in this article. So it's a North London bookshop, and it's one of those to join the bookshop.org platform, which started off on November the 2nd after being launched in the US. Now, its arrival could provide a lifeline to small bookshops, especially as England has effectively gone into lockdown again for a month to cut the virus infection rates. Now, unlike some other European nations like Belgium, authorities in Britain, with their infinite wisdom, have said that books are deemed books non-essential items. Now, I would argue against that, as does Jessica Graham, who's the owner of Primrose Hill Books, and she says that most people are now reading more. In fact, she goes on, here's a quote, "People are reading more," is what she says.
Mm.
Perhaps people who normally read anyway got a little bit more time, and people who perhaps have lost the habit of reading have picked up a book and rediscovered the pleasure and the solace of reading. And according to a report published in May by market research company Nielsen, 2 out of 5 adults said they read more during the first UK-wide lockdown introduced in late March. The average reading time in the country rose from 3.5 hours to 6 hours a week. So the shuttering of bookshops ahead of the busy Christmas period is particularly hard for independent booksellers. So normally they'd have a shop full of books all ready for Christmas, and suddenly they've got no customers, right? So during the first lockdown, which happened in June, sales in her bookshop in particular went down by 50% overnight. But now she hopes that by joining bookshop.org, she'll be able to better weather the current restrictions. So the director of bookshop.org is aware that the platform's British launch comes at a difficult time for the industry. They'd always planned on launching in early November, but weren't aware of a second lockdown over in the UK, and it's not been great timing for the UK. Now, there are more than 850 independent bookshops in Britain, but many do not have the capability to sell online. And, of course, this is a very similar situation to what we saw here, where we had food outlets who had no idea how they were going to get themselves online.
Yeah.
You know? And so we had a whole bunch of people looking at software as a service to help get them online. And, you know, we did an entire month, 2 months worth of programming about it, you know, about how we can help you get online and digitize yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at this, it really does make me sad reading about stuff like this and about how they're going to have to come up against, you know, companies like Amazon, because independent bookshops cannot be as cheap as Amazon because of economies of scale. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
So they need to get online to survive. I mean, we've got our own stuff here. You know, we've got...
Book Access
and a few others. Now, if you look at Amazon, their third quarter profits tripled from a year earlier to $6.3 billion. That's 26 billion ringgit, led by strong retail sales and cloud computing during the pandemic. Revenues jumped 37% to 96 billion net sales for last year. And the prospect of taking on, you know, this kind of multinational, which is the preeminent seller of books worldwide. I'm going to go home in a minute. Worldwide, you know, it's something that they know about. And a lot of these independent bookshops are very fiercely independent and do not want to buy their books from Amazon. And people who regularly visit these shops don't want to buy their books from Amazon either.
Yeah, and there are some really amazing hidden gems you can find in an independent bookshop as well. It's like the gentrification of literature happening before our eyes, and it makes me also very sad.
Yeah. I mean, when I was younger, you know, my dream was to own a bookshop in my hometown, you know, and just kind of sit there and read every day and be surrounded by that smell of, you know, old books and breathe in that
new
dust
books.
And new books and whatever. And you look at it now and there's no such thing anymore. There's no such thing really in my hometown as an old bookstore.
It's
all these bigger bookstores where they all sell the same books.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make business sense to have a small bookstore anymore, right? Especially with Amazon. And I don't think people realize the sort of footprint that Amazon has, because a lot of people say, oh, there's Book Depository, because they are like the sort of the antidote, not the antidote, the opposite of Amazon. But Amazon owns Book Depository. It's the same, it's basically the same company in the same umbrella. Am I right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They own it's the same people.
Yeah.
So they are like a massive, massive giant. And it's going to be difficult for smaller guys to sort of stand up to that.
I mean, it's nice that they are. You know,
it's nice that they are, yes.
850 independent bookstores together, though. It's not going to make a dent, but the idea that they're banding together to try and get some of their stuff online and some of their stock shifted in time for Christmas is great. With that in mind, we're going to have to wrap up, of course. The discussion of today was whether or not co-living is still a great idea during a pandemic. The voting has finished. What were the final votes over on Twitter of?
Let's refresh. The final votes over on Twitter are at 61.4% for yes and 38.6% for no.
People want to save money at the end of the day. Right, that's it. That's all the time we have for today. Of course, we started off with that story courtesy of Chris.
Yep, so about how co-living could be our key to human connection during a pandemic.
And then we spoke about how the PlayStation 5 is three times more expensive in China because of the pandemic.
And independent bookstores over in the UK coming up against Amazon trying to sell books in time for Christmas. Don't go anywhere, though. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. The United Nations estimates that nearly half of the world's 3.3 billion population could lose their livelihoods due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and in the midst of unprecedented unemployment, could the concept of a government guarantee for jobs gain traction? The Breakfast Grill discussed the theory and practicality of such a proposal with academician and author Pavlina Cherneva. That's all coming up after these messages and, of course, the news at 1 o'clock. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.